This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
It's not just any old Judd's Hockey Show. It's Judd and Declan with Judd's Trade Deadline Special Hockey Show. The trade deadline, a mere 34 minutes away. We were going to wait until the deadline passed, but we couldn't wait any longer because, if you've not heard, we have a breaking news, widely reported now. Jordan Greenway has been traded to the Buffalo Sabres. Mm. Jordan Greenway Sabres. To the Buffalo Sabres for a 2023 second-round pick and a 2024 fifth-round pick coming back to the Wild. No salary retention, so they freed up the space that they had to, in part because of the contract that Boldy signed. But they do free up some more space as well. Be interesting to see, Dex, in the next 33 minutes if we get another move.
Oh, we do.
But as of right now, it's Marcus Johansson in. He played last night on the second line. It is Gustav Nyquist in a couple days ago from Columbus. He's hurt. He's not playing yet. Probably not till the playoffs. Jordan Greenway out. The Greenway trade, not a surprise. The return to me.
Huge.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent. And keep in mind, we're being told, and this is by the experts, not by us, we're being told the 2023 draft, the second round, is very good. And so Bill Guerin continues to accrue draft picks. Before I turn it over to you for your comments, just to go through quickly, 2023 draft right now,
yep.
Wild has their own first round pick. They have two second round picks now. They've got the one that they got for Greenway. They've got their own. They do not have a third-round pick because of the DeLaurier trade with the Ducks last year. They then have a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, and a seventh. So the Wild now has three picks in the first two rounds. Your thoughts, Declan?
Okay, so I love the trade for Greenway. You kind of knew that you saw the writing on the wall a little bit when he was scratched a few times this season. Never really lived up to the hype. Has been a nice, productive player on some productive lines. He's a defensive first forward. But never really broke that glass ceiling, never really broke the unfortunate Charlie Coyle shadow that was always looming over him as well, which was an easy comp to make. For a second and a fifth, huge. We were wondering if you could get anything for this guy even because he's having such a poor season. Buffalo's in a win-now mode. They're in a competitive Eastern Conference. They have a good offense, so they look at a guy like Jordan Greenway, someone that makes him a little bit deeper. They pay a top 60 draft pick, essentially, to buy him for 2023. That's a huge win for Bill Guerin. We might not like the Marcus Johansson trade on paper, seeing a third-round pick for a guy who's already been there, done that, and a guy who doesn't really move your offensive needle towards the right direction. But this is a very savvy trade. I love this. And I am seeing another trade pop in here, Judd. This is coming, I believe, from The Athletic's Shayna. Shayna says, sounds like Oscar Sundquist is headed to the Wild. Oscar Sundquist from the Detroit Red Wings. You might remember more from the Blues. A center, kind of had a great start to his career in St. Louis. 14 goals and 12 goals, but since then, just 7 goals this season. A depth center probably for the Wild. Maybe someone you can plug in and make them a little bit better. I've yet to see anyone else report this, but the deadline's still about 35 minutes away as we're recording this live edition of Judd's Hockey Show. But still could, other moves could be coming in here as we record.
Interesting. So we'll wait for confirmation. In fact, I'm going to the Twitter account of one Elliot Friedman right now because he is ordinarily very, very quick on these things. Yeah, let's wait for confirmation on the Sundquist trade. On the Greenway front, so we're talking about a guy who had a pretty good game on Tuesday night. Again, on Thursday against the Canucks, he was back to his old ways. Had his first point in something like, 20-some-odd games. His first point had an assist on the Ryan Reeves goal. But he departs this season, just for some context here, and he also missed extensive time throughout the early portion of the season because I believe a shoulder injury, 45 games, 2 goals, 7 points total, a -3. The grief line obviously has been broken up for a while now. Marcus Foligno, who is being rested, extremely disappointing year. He is being supposedly, he has some wear and tear issues. They didn't play him last night. I don't think there's any question about his effort, though. With Jordan Greenway, there was some question. Just to peel back the curtain a little bit, Jordan Greenway was asked after the game on Tuesday night about how he was handling the rumors of trades and blah, 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 and basically seemed about as non-faced as you can possibly be. I think he wanted out. I don't think he liked it here at this point in time. I don't know what he thought he was going to get here that he didn't, but you know what's funny, Dex? Jordan Greenway, the end of his time here, very much reminds me sort of that of the group that Paul Fenton started to clear out, right?
Yep.
Like, underachieving, you didn't get what you expected, and GMs just eventually say, okay, dude, you're done. Now, Greenway goes to a Buffalo team that is still pretty damn young. Their coach, Don Granato, who was actually on the 80, I think it was four state championship team here with Burnsville, with Kevin Gorg, he coaches that team now. He has certainly gotten a lot from his young players, so perhaps he can push some buttons, and Greenway can be a guy who goes to Buffalo and contributes. Nonetheless, this is a trade that definitely frees up some cap room. It's a trade that definitely gets a guy off the roster who I don't think they saw as a fit at this point. And if you were going into today trying to set odds of moves that might be made, Jordan Greenway being traded would be high. The Sundquist trade, if true, intrigues me, because I guess my question is, how does that fit in? Who comes out again? Nyquist obviously is not going to be back until around the playoffs. But as they try and put the pieces of this puzzle together, that does intrigue me.
Yeah, that's an intriguing one. Darren Drager saying it's a pick to Detroit. He's not saying what the draft pick is. So some type of compensation going to potentially Detroit there for Sundquist. The Greenway one's great, though. Even if you want to use one of those picks to get Sundquist, and we'll figure out here probably shortly if that's the case. That's what they did to bring Nyquist in here. They got the Boston draft pick from over the week. Then they flipped that draft pick. They buy basically Nyquist to hopefully see if he can come back healthy before the playoffs to make that line a little bit better. And, you know, Jed, I took some heat for this when I tweeted it out a few weeks ago, and I saw a little bit more of it this morning. But look, Matt Boldy has no goals in 15 games. 15 consecutive games, no goals for Matt Boldy. And the Wild have obviously trended back in the right direction here in the last week. You know, they're still playing some of their best hockey. And in fact, they're just a couple points off from their pace from this time last season. We obviously felt a lot better about that Wild team than we probably do with this Wild team. So they're still close to that same team points-wise they were a year ago. But Matt Boldy hasn't scored a goal in 15 games. And if that means getting Nyquist here long-term to help him out, that could work too. Maybe it's someone like Sundquist to help him out as well. But there's plenty of different avenues to get these guys going. Kirill Kaprizov was fantastic again last night, right? I mean, it's the Minnesota Kirill Kaprizovs, as you like to say. But you need something else there to help get your offense going. I love Matt Boldy. I think when he's on, he can be just as dynamic as the rest of them. But 15 games without a goal is a problem. And could he use some external help? 100%. But internally, that guy, who I'm sure is gripping the stick a little bit, and he's frustrated just as anyone else is from watching him, he has to start bearing some chances as well. So I'm curious if they can find something else to potentially get his game going in the right direction.
Yeah, and he actually had a few shots on goal last night. He looks like he's definitely fighting it at this point. Sundquist, just to update you, is 28, a third-round pick of the Pittsburgh Penguins back in 2012. In 52 games, he had 7 goals and 21 points, was a minus 4 with Detroit, which is bailed now. They got swept. Detroit was red hot. They went to Ottawa, I think, to play back-to-back games. They got beaten both and said, we're out of it. Traded Tyler Bertuzzi yesterday to the Boston Bruins. Sundquist's career high is 14 goals and 31 points with St. Louis back in the 2018-19 season. And so, yeah, definitely a depth guy. I wonder if he'll slot in at center on the fourth line or what they're going to do there. But, yeah, to get back to your point, it's weird because the Wild defensively is playing great. And Wes Walls on the telecast last night on Bally's broached this a little bit, but I thought it was a good point because I don't disagree with it. The more that I watch this team right now, and especially during this hot streak, in which I think they are averaging fewer than one goal per game, or two goals per game, they remind me more and more of the 2003 team that, that made the playoff run. Now, I'm not predicting a playoff run, but the point is, besides Kaprizov, who is a rich man's Gabrick, they basically can't score consistently at all.
It's a good, and good cop, actually.
So, but I mean, they're playing incredibly responsible. Yes. Goaltending is solid, but I mean, defensively, they're pretty damn good right now. I mean, Dean is doing what Jacques Lemaire did back then, which is he is milking every last thing he can from a lot of players who are workmanlike players. Now, can you maintain that in the playoffs? I will say this. You have a better chance to maintain that in the playoffs than you do to be a high-flying team as the Wild attempted to be last year. Because in the playoffs, that can be shut down. All of that being said, I think it's very fair to say that the Wild has to get more offensive contribution. It doesn't have to be enormous decks, but they have to get spread out scoring a little bit more from elsewhere besides one line and one player.
So we do have compensation for the Sundqvist trade. A friend of the show, Sarah McClellan, reporting in the Star Tribune that the Wild are receiving or sending a fourth round pick. So they landed Oscar Sundqvist from Detroit for a fourth round pick. I'm not sure the year, if that's this coming year's draft of a fourth round pick, but a fourth round pick per Sarah McClellan of the Star Tribune for Oscar Sundqvist. So more wheeling and dealing happening here for the Wild. But I mean, they're making themselves a little deeper on your comparison of the 2003 front. I mean, it actually is, unfortunately, a kind of fortunately and unfortunately a good comp. That team wasn't sexy, right? They weren't the most fun team to watch. In fact, let's be honest, and you knew this a lot better than I did, because I was a young Declan at that time in my life. That was just a dismal time in the NHL where scoring was completely down and just wasn't fun. But you have Kirill Kaprizov, who is their superstar. You have two solid netminders, right? Marc-Andre Fleur of the last three games, Judd. I mean, he's kind of found his game again a little bit, too. Obviously, the Gus bus might be one of the best stories in the NHL, just coming completely out of left field and being the Wild's number one guy here. And they have depth, right? Like, that's Marcus Johansson doesn't necessarily make you a better offense, but he makes you deeper. If Nyquist comes in here and is able to be healthy and potentially get Boldy going, that's another great move. Sundqvist, we'll see where the pecking order falls. If he does, he center the Boldy line, does he shift someone else out from the bottom six a little bit to make them deeper? So there's plenty of different areas the Wild could go there with the addition of all these guys, but they're just getting deeper. And the West, thankfully, you're not in the East, right? I mean, if the Wild were in the East, I still wouldn't feel good about their chances in a first round matchup. The West is wide open. I mean, honestly, which team in the Western Conference can you actually say, maybe Colorado, now that they're getting close to full strength, that you can definitively say, yeah, they're going to run through it? I mean, it's anyone's game so far, in my opinion, as we get to the trade deadline in the Western Conference.
The Wild might not be a playoff team in the East, period. Forget the first round. So Joe says there, I believe that Sundqvist was fantastic for the Blues on their playoff run a few years ago. Joe, we actually have the answer for you because we here at JHS aim to please. 2018-19, Oscar Sundqvist played in 25 games and was very solid. 44 shots on goal. 4 goals, 5 assists, 9 points. So, yeah, and I think you're right. And so, Dex, I think I'd be really surprised if the top three centers are impacted here. As much as Hartman might drive me nuts at times, his play has improved. Like, his mojo is back a little bit, as Middleton said a few weeks ago. And so I don't think he's going to be moved from between Zuccarello and Kaprizov, right? Erickson Ek, I think, is going to stay with Boldy and Johansson. I'd be curious once guys come back, you know, if Nyquist can play, if they would keep Johansson there. The next is Goudreau, who Dean absolutely loves. And Goudreau's winger was Greenway on the one side. So could his wings be Foligno when he comes back from his quote-unquote rest and somebody else? So would Sundqvist slot in fourth line? And that fourth line's been solid, and then be injury protection? I'm just trying to figure out where Sundqvist slots in. He is listed as a center. I don't know his background as far as playing wing, but that's certainly a possibility as well. And I'd be curious to see, I don't know if you can find this, Declan.
Sure.
What are his faceoff stats like? Because the Wild was pretty good on faceoffs last night, but I mean, there's no doubt about it going back, you know, the majority of the time, and in playoffs where I contend puck possession is important, there have been a lot of times that the Wild has been very suspect when it comes to it, the work in the faceoff circle.
Yeah, so just analytically speaking, I was looking at some of the stuff there before you asked about the faceoff stuff, and my guy Jay Fresh Hockey does a great job. If you want some analytics broken down, go check him out as well. But he's basically a depth guy. He's been a depth guy the last few years, so he's not going to necessarily move possession a ton. He's disciplined, doesn't take a lot of penalties, doesn't drive a lot of offense. He does have a little bit of a scoring touch from previous seasons. I mean, he makes $2.8 million. He's a fourth liner kind of guy. Like, I don't expect him to step in and be the top line center. Maybe he can draw some time in if there's chemistry made with Boldy on that second line. You could do it. But I think it's just important to have as much center depth as possible, right? I mean, we've all asked Bill Guerin the pestering, annoying questions as it is. You know, when are you going to find a center? When are you going to find a center? And it's always been very difficult for the Wild to address that position because it's like finding good starting pitching in baseball. It's hard to develop it. It's hard to cultivate it. So I'm curious to see kind of, yeah, where he slides in. It does make you deeper, just like the Mojo acquisition was able to be made earlier this week for the Wild. So they're doing obviously all their due diligence to try to be better with their forwards. And even if they're not going to be game breaker necessarily forwards like they had with Fiala and they had with Kaprizov, can they be a little bit deeper for the Wild going forward? He doesn't take a ton of draws. He hasn't took, I don't know if he's actually played a lot of center this year, Judd. He has a
Fourth line right wing.
Yeah, so he's actually played more wing than he has center. He's only taken 125 draws against 35 this season. So even when he was being a full-time center in St. Louis, was a less than 45% rate on his faceoff. So he's kind of like Hartman, right? Like Hartman takes a lot of draws, but he doesn't win a lot of them. So again, I think this is just more of a depth forward that makes you a little bit better. So we'll see where he slides in.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but so he was playing on the fourth line in Detroit with Adam Ernie on the left wing and Pius Suter at center. So here's my guess. Yep. I'm guessing the fourth line stays intact here. And I am guessing that Sundquist immediately gets plugged in Greenway's spot. So Goudreau, Sundquist, when Foligno's back. We also have, and we don't know, and this could be a tip-off. Keep in mind, Duhaime, in that fight last night,
got
jacked pretty badly. And the spotter, rightfully so, sent him from the penalty box to the quiet room. He never came back. So if he's got a concussion, there's a chance that he's going to be out for a period of time. So if he's out as well, this could be a pure depth move as well. Third line, responsible winger. So just in real time, trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together, I wonder if this is a right wing on that third line. Because that would be a pretty responsible line then.
Yeah, it would make a lot of sense, especially if Duhaime is indeed injured. And then obviously you sent off Jordan Greenway, so you need just a type of a kind of grinder type. Just looking at the tail of the tape, if you will, Oscar Sundquist is 6'3", 220 pounds. So, I mean, he's no small chicken there necessarily. He's a big dude that can definitely throw his weight around to a degree. I know we talked about the playoff experience there, and I think that's obviously huge for Bill Guerin as well, right? I mean, he helped that team get to a Stanley Cup, played in 25 games. He actually played on the Penguins team that won a cup in 2016. Granted, he only drew in for two of those postseason games. But he's been to at least two Stanley Cups. He's been around that from a young player's age, and Guerin loves that, right? I mean, that's a prototypical Guerin type of dude that's probably had some playoff experience. I'm guessing he's probably solid in the room. He's a depth forward, and you're playing to your strengths, right? Like, Bill could have easily, Judd, and this is where I think the strategy now is starting to come in from Guerin, now that we're seeing more of these moves as we inch closer to the deadline time here, about 15 minutes away on Judd's Hockey Show. By the way, hit the subscribe button for Daily Minnesota Sports Entertainment. This is the first time you're watching Judd's Hockey Show. That's Judd Zolgad. I'm Declan Goff. We break down Minnesota Wild games, news, all types of reckless speculation. So hit the subscribe button. We're on Apple, Spotify, and the Score North app as well. He could have easily bought Bo Horvat, right? If he wanted to figure out how to get Patrick Kane to make one of those two guys, their offense better, more dynamic, right? But then he realized, well, the cost is going to be absurd. He doesn't want to pay the price. How do I play to my team's strength currently right now? Kirill Kaprizov's clearly their superstar. Game breaker, can take any games over. He's been carrying the Wild to wins essentially for the last 2 weeks here. So instead of trying to figure out another dynamic forward, which is the sexier and I get more exciting thing to get, he looks at the depth. He looks at the situation. To your point of them playing more of a grinder type style, and that can win games. It can win 2-1 games. That's how the Wild have been winning games a lot recently, with stellar goaltending, good defense, and using your checking forwards to their degree and setting up your superstar player to convert power plays and whatnot. That's a good move from Guerin. He's not going to the grocery store and saying, okay, I would love the filet mignon, but I don't have the budget for the filet mignon, right? Like, I have a lot of other solid ingredients for a really, really good meal, but how do I make this meal the best I can on a limited budget? Keep in mind that the salary cap is still going to be a problem for them going forward. They still have the majority of their first draft picks, right? I mean, first and second round picks are still in the Wild's disposal right now. You didn't have to give up any of that. So actually, I think it's a pretty savvy move from Guerin to go out there and get guys like Sundqvist, get guys like Nyquist, get guys like Marcus Johansson, because it just makes you a little bit deeper. I really like it.
And Sundqvist is also a guy that Bill knows because he was in the front office. I think he might have been an assistant GM by this point in 2015 when Sundqvist was drafted. So he's seen him as well. I would guess back then he scouted him. So that makes sense as well. So he is getting a guy that he is familiar with. Just to correct it, he was drafted actually in 2012, but Bill Guerin was with the Penguins when Sundqvist was there. And so that makes sense. Well, I think that this goes back to what we sort of expected here, Dex, which was short of getting a guy in a bigger trade that had some term left, that this was, you know, a year after Bill Guerin made some moves that were, you know, starting with the Marc-Andre Fleury trade, that were 1,000% all in with a team that was a high-flying team, scored way more goals, and was, you know, in the midst of a very successful season. I think the feeling back then was, let's go for it. This team looked to be at one point like they might entirely miss the playoffs, and it wasn't that long ago. They have tightened things up. They've played, you know, they've played really well defensively. And so, like, as Bill said, at the halfway point, this team's going to tell me what to do. And I think by dipping his toe in the waters here, that's the smartest possible move. Because I will say this, although it feels late, the Wild's got about 20 games left. And yes, they're in fantastic shape. They're 3 points out of first place in the Central, which is perilously close to being in first place in the Western Conference. But if you look at the last or the first in wildcard teams, they're right on the Wild's heels. So this was not a year to, like, go all in and, to your point, get rentals and to say, let's go. And the other thing, too, is I think that this team, the way that they play at this point in time, too, while you want to score more goals, you need guys who are going to buy in here now. Like, this is not joining a fun team. This is not joining a, oh, look at all the goals that we score, and you can score some goals, and if somebody else can score, that's awesome. But the reality is, if you look around at how this team plays and what Dean is demanding right now, It is a lockdown type of style. Yep. And until somebody absolutely starts to score, and I don't know where that's going to come from, and I don't know if Patrick Kane alone was going to do that. I think that this is a very interesting, how can I put this, chemistry experiment.
Yeah.
Because I think you really have a team that has bought into, I'll go back to it again, the 2003 style. And that takes a certain type of player. Like, if you bring in someone who wants to be high flying and he's like, screw your defensive stuff, Dean. Dean's in trouble there. And I think it's also safe to say that despite the fact he certainly didn't score much, Jordan Greenway didn't necessarily night in, night out fight the style. And, you know, Declan, the style goes back to what we've talked about since the season started. And everyone was saying, how's this team going to play? What's its identity? Everybody knows they're not talented enough that their identity is anything but what we saw last night. You'd like to see them score 3 or 4 goals. But the reality is, this is not a team where you're like, oh man, you know who's going to heat up? Mason Shaw. Any day now. He's going to, you know, Connor Dewar. He's going to heat up. And so I do think that Bill Guerin, within the parameters of how this team plays, had to be careful, because there's no sense in trying to say, let's score more goals, if that's going to sacrifice the mentality of the defensive mindset that this team has. And so, yes, I applaud what Bill has done here. I think it's very, very smart. And if it works in the playoffs, awesome. And if it doesn't, I'm not going to say I'm shocked.
Right. By the way, it looks like JVR was heading to the Detroit Red Wings. We're about 10 minutes up to the deadline here. It sounded like about 10 minutes ago that was the case. Something happened. They backed out. So now JVR is now back on the market. Stevie Y is a mover and shaker, so I'm not sure what the heck happened there.
Stevie Y is a hard ass.
Yes.
Lamoriello Jr. is what he is.
Yeah, so this is an interesting thing to watch here. The Wild had previous interest in JVR. Personally, if it was the third-round pick, which I believe was the initial report that was Detroit was sending, I would have done that instead of the Johansson deal. I'm not going to go back and be complete revisionist history on that. But if JVR was someone who was on the Wild's radar, I think Bill Guerin even admitted to that, or at least alluded to that from the Athletics reporting recently as well, that they were in on JVR at one point. That could be someone else here as we get closer to the deadline. Judd, I want to go back, though, to your point about, you know, them winning a playoff style and playing with a more grittier style. Because last year, I personally thought, I mean, I was 8 years old when the Wild came here, and I do remember the run to the conference finals against the Ducks. I thought last season was probably the Wild's, the best I have felt about the Wild's chances to make a lengthy playoff run in probably quite some time. Probably only like one or two other times have I felt that about previous Wild teams. I felt that the first year of Boudreaux, or it was unceremoniously bounced in the first round. And I thought that in the second time that they were eliminated from the Blackhawks in the second round, when they again got through the first, but then were bounced, I believe, and I think they were swept by the Blackhawks that year in the second round of the playoffs. So do you feel that this Wild team, as they're currently constructed, and I know it's easier to say it because you saw how last year's team played out, do you feel like there is actually a more realistic path of them getting out of that first round as they stacked up from last season when they had great offense? They obviously bought Marc-Andre Fleury. There was excitement around them, right? Do you feel better about the Wild's chance to actually get out of the first round if this is kind of how their roster is currently being constructed?
I feel if they are willing to continue to play like they have been of late and take it up a notch, which is, again, really, really difficult, yes. I feel that they have, and it's not going to be fun to watch. Like it, a playoff run, obviously, is fun. But as far as like the sexy style, it's not going to be there. But yes, I feel that if they are willing to pay the price, that they can win a series. Now, you play Colorado, Nathan MacKinnon, you're going to have a plan. And Dex, this gets back to my big point, is I want to see them in the playoffs because I want to see Dean operate.
Yeah.
Because that's one where you're going to pull strings. In 2003, make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, the Minnesota Wild beat the Colorado Avalanche in 2003. And Wes Walls will tell you this. The most important, the number one star, was really Jacques. Jacques Lemaire coached circles around, at the time, Tony Granato, who was a rookie coach, didn't really know exactly what he was doing, just gotten that job. And Jacques Lemaire won at least one, if not two, series. Like, the way that he manipulated things, who he used, when he used them, how he used his goaltenders. You know, we can debate managers and coaches' value in regular season games, but I'm going to tell you this right now, especially in this sport, you cannot debate what a coach means in the playoffs, because they have to play this brilliantly. And so I want to see Dean there. I want to see what Dean does, because you cannot just stay with what you thought would work if it doesn't work. You got to pivot. You got to switch lines at times. You got to get creative. If you rely on my players will carry us through, you're screwed.
Yeah.
If you go with my players will carry us through if I set them up to. So like this is a whole thing. And you know, Dex, it's funny, but just in the hot stretches now that we're sort of seeing trade off, Gustafson and Fleury remind me a little bit of Manny and Rolly.
Yeah, it's,
and they went back and forth, and one of them would get incredibly hot, and Jacques would ride that guy, and the second that guy cooled off, you know what would happen? The other guy would play.
Right.
And the goaltenders would go, you know, Manny Fernandez, who, if I'm not mistaken, was Jacques' nephew, would get pissed off. And you know how much Jacques cared? Zero. So, yes, I think that this team is built, and I thought this before they went on that stretch where they didn't play well. When you watch them playing at their best, they can play a playoff style. You are going to have to find, and this is the delicate thing, and this is where you got to get creative, and this is where you might have to split Zuccarello from Kaprizov at times, Declan. You're going to have to find a scoring alternative, though. Because I will say what we have seen from Kaprizov of late, and he's a marvelous player, and he did score in the playoffs last year. Fiala did not. But the important thing is you are going to have to get somebody else or a group of people that can score some goals.
Right.
So, like, if you're Kirill, if you say, Kirill, it's been unbelievable, keep that up. The Islanders, if you watch the game on Tuesday, the Islanders sort of laid the blueprint, which is to use a football term, they double teamed Kirill, and they made it, and he didn't have a point. They made it as hard as possible for him to get free. And so the question then becomes, okay, if they're going to do that, how are you going to make them pay? And these are all the things that are going to be coaching counters. But if they could continue to play this way and take it up a bit, I do think that the back end of things, the defensive side of things, can be pretty damn impressive. That's my long answer.
No, it makes a lot of sense, kind of in a funny way. I mean, I think the biggest X factor, because we can compare to goalie rotations, right? Gabrick, Kirill, two superstars leading things, depth, forwards, and checking line guys making life hell on opposing teams. The thing that probably doesn't really add up is Jacques Lemaire next to Dean Evason. Unfortunately, that's just not the... I mean, Jacques was one of the best coaches at what he did, and he's been to playoffs for as a player and as a coach, so that made a lot of sense. Dean kind of fumbled last year. Let's be honest. Let's just call it what it is. He fumbled adjustments in the postseason last year before it was too late by the time they were getting bounced in Game 6. So
right.
Can he make those proper adjustments? Because I think the Wild, yeah, do have the ingredients to play spoiler in the playoffs, to beat potentially a deep Colorado team, to beat a good offensive Dallas team who also has a pretty good goaltender, Jake Oettinger, as well. I think they have the ingredients there. But let's say you're down 2-1 in the series, right? Like, all right, so where's the counterpunch? You're against adversity, your back's against the wall, and now you have to make some type of adjustment, whether that's a goalie change, whether that's a lineup change. You can't just say, well, it's worked from, you know, when they went on their roll in Valentine's Day to the end of the season and say, well, they'll get out, they'll dig out. Well, yeah, now it's crunch time, buddy. There's no a month plus here of waiting. It's do or die at this point. You could be bounced in a week and you're on the golf course at that point. So I think that's probably the more interesting part. How does Dean Evason take all these now new ingredients, right? He's the coach. As Lou Nanny likes to say, managers manage and coaches coach. So Guerin's now gotten him some new ingredients. How does he sprinkle these in? And then also, when it comes to playoff time, how do you make those proper adjustments when you have to make them? And that's what I think that's probably the big question mark still. It's Dean, who has been a very good regular season coach and probably has even exceeded expectations of when he got the interim label lifted off. How does he exceed those expectations and make him even a better coach in the playoffs?
And exactly. And in that environment where you cannot say, well, you know, Jarrett Spurgeon was going up and down the bench and being positive about getting pucks deep. In the playoffs, it's your job, and it's your job to go in that room. You cannot allow that room to police itself because the pressure is such that you have to at least take some of that pressure off, and you do that by making smart moves. Okay, we are essentially 1 minute away from the National Hockey League trade deadline. It's Judd's Hockey Show. We appreciate you all tuning in. Two moves so far this afternoon involving the Wild. The first, winger Jordan Greenway traded to Buffalo. I'll say this slowly because it's a heist. 2023 second round pick, 2024 fifth round pick to Minnesota, Greenway to the Sabres. The Wild then turn around and make a trade with the Detroit Red Wings. Veteran center, who's actually a wing now, I guess, Oscar Sundquist, coming to the Wild. Joe Smith of the Athletic reporting a fourth round pick in 2023. So the Wild get another second round pick. They give up their fourth in this coming draft. Sundquist, our best guess, is going to slot in on the right side with Goudreau, probably.
Yeah, I think so.
And Greenway, just to be clear here, no salary retention. So the Wild not only trades a guy who appeared to be disgruntled or disinterested in playing for them, but they also get his salary completely off the books. Buffalo now has him. And I also have seen I got a note that it sounds like Brock Besser staying put in Vancouver. So the Burnsville native did his best last night, scored a goal, and I thought played a really good game. He was auditioning. Yeah. There's no question about it. Unfortunately, what we were basically told a month ago was the reality, which is the salary, the fact that he signed for two more years, and I think 6.5, if I'm not mistaken, Dex, AAV was just too much for a team struggling with the salary cap to take on. Vancouver could have taken some of that, but obviously the price goes up. So it sounds like if you were hoping Brock Besser would be a member of the Wild by the time that we reached, bingo, the witching hour on the trade deadline, which just hit, it's not going to happen.
Yes. Yeah, so and there, by the way, there might be a few things that trickle in, even though the deadline is now passed as they process through the league and whatnot. So there might be a few things. But yeah, pencils down, if you will. The NHL trade deadline for now has come and gone. I think the Besser thing gets revisited this summer. It might be a little easier to try to figure out than it is right now as you're getting closer and closer to the deadline. It comes a little bit more complicated. I wouldn't be shocked if that was a guy that is targeted here or acquired here in the summertime. Dynamic player, could really make your offense a lot better. Could help replace the production you lost in Kevin Fiala too. But yeah, I think in general, you know, if this is indeed it, which is obviously it's to a degree looking like it is, I like the moves that were made here. You didn't give up top prospects. You didn't give up top draft picks. You made yourself deeper. You played to your strengths by getting some more checking line forwards in here. And just, I like what Bill Guerin was able to do here. He's always been wheeling and dealing. He was on this show, by the way, just about a few weeks ago, kind of previewing trade deadline. It was actually towards the end of their skid that they were in, that funk that they were in, where it was looking like, well, the Wild could even just be full on sellers, not even buyers of the NHL trade deadline. So that's a very interesting thing that now that things change really quickly in the NHL, where you get off some wins, now all of a sudden things get a little bit easier here. A couple trades tricking in from the other parts of the league. Rasmus Asplund from Nashville, from Buffalo, goes to Nashville. The Wild have formally announced the trade of Jordan Greenway. I don't know if they have formally announced their other move quite yet, but some things starting to trickle in a little bit. By the way, we have like over almost 900 people watching Judd's Hockey Show right now. So if this is the first time you're watching, hit the subscribe button on Score North. Go support some of our sponsors too. Popped Corn, delicious popcorn. It's popcorn.com, or if you're in the metro area, it's off Shady Oak Road and Highway 62 in Minnetonka. And of course, Vivron, if you need some knives sharpened. More information in our YouTube bio comments. You want to help support some of our sponsors. A lot of people like to ask, how do we help out Score North? How do we help out Judd's Hockey Show? It's supporting our sponsors. Links to those right below in our YouTube comment section. But very interesting trade deadline. And Frank Cervelli also tweeting in that JVR was not traded prior to the deadline. So JVR, for now, looks like he is staying put with the Flyers.
I wonder if that fell through for cap purposes. Because occasionally, because what happens is you submit a trade to the league. The league, there's then a trade call, and the league vets the contracts. Total guess. But I wonder if it didn't fall apart because a team backed out. I wonder if there were salary cap implications. Okay, so unless we find out different here, because as Deck said, what's probably happened, and there were a ton of trades made throughout the course of the week, so I don't know if there's a bunch, but traditionally, the deadline, as long as you get your trade in before the deadline, it gets approved.
Yep.
And so right now, there are probably trades in queue. The league then has to go through them all and get the trade calls done. I have no idea if that's the case when it comes to Bill Guerin in the Wild. But let's just say that they are done making moves. So you've got Oscar Sundquist here. You've got Jordan Greenway now in Buffalo. You've got Marcus Johansson, who made his debut last night here. And Gustav Nyquist also on the roster, but he is injured presently. Matt Dumba and Alex Goligoski stay. I think it was Joe Smith from The Athletic had a note today that there was interest in Goligoski. He has a full no-move clause.
Right.
But he wasn't playing previously. He has been of late, and I think Bill Guerin was going to try to trade him if Goligoski didn't want to be here. But let's start with Dumba.
Sure.
He certainly was brought up a lot, and I do believe that there was exploration of trading him. He was scratched for a couple games, which is rare for a guy who wears an A as an alternate captain. And he actually, I thought, Declan, came back after that and has played better. He's not played great. But Matt Dumba stays. Here's my guess there. Twofold. One is, I think Bill Guerin was telling the truth when he's like, I'm going to need to get more.
Yeah.
So I think that what we heard, which is the market was flooded with players, and Dumba's fine, but he's at the bottom of lists. So one, I don't think that the offers were sufficient to trade him. And two, you know, I can't help but think the locker room is not going to miss Greenway. I don't think he was a bad guy. I just don't know that he did much.
Yep.
You know, Matt Dumba's an interesting guy because I think he means a lot. I think he's good friends with Kaprizov. And so I could see why the Wild, just from, again, to go back to the whole chemistry experiment, Declan.
Yeah.
I could see why the Wild, considering that Dumba is not a disaster right now, I could see why the Wild and Bill Guerin might have been hesitant about trading him.
Yeah, I get it. Look, he's a rental, or he's entering the last year's deal, so he could be a rental defenseman.
For the Wild.
Yeah, he's a rental. For,
yeah.
And usually that,
he's their rental.
That is a position of strength as a seller at the deadline. And look, he's had previous seasons where he was a very dynamic defenseman, and teams love to use that in the postseason for sure. But I'm sure Guerin wasn't going to just give him away either. I would rather Dumba, if it was a fifth-round pick, let's say they weren't getting anything more than a fifth-round pick.
Right.
I would rather just ride it out with Dumba. Like,
yeah.
I understand that you could say, like, well, but a fifth-round pick is still some type of capital. It's some type of return for a player. And I know Kirill Kaprizov is a fifth-round pick, because I got absolutely roasted for that last year when I said the same thing. A fifth-round pick doesn't really matter to me. I'd rather roll with Matt Dumba. I'd rather roll with Dumba helping your team be a little bit better. He's playing the best hockey of the season so far. And there was a time earlier this season where he was playing the worst hockey of his career, and you weren't getting any calls. I mean, scouts and reporters that were coming in from everywhere locally here with Joe Smith, Michael Russo, to even Elliot Friedman nationally, they were saying there was nothing happening on the Matt Dumba front. And they weren't willing to pay that price, or they weren't willing to go to Minnesota's probably demands or offers of what they wanted for him. So let it ride out. And look, is this probably still the end of the Matt Dumba era? Yeah, I would be, unless he's brought back for an incredibly team-friendly deal, which I guess is not completely off the table. I'm guessing we're seeing the last of Matt Dumba in a Wild sweater, and that's fine. Look, you got prospects that are behind him. Kalen Addison needs more minutes once they finally, if they ever bleeping trust him. Obviously, Brock Faber will be coming over here from the U of M whenever their season ends. So there's guys in the ranks that will come up and probably fill Dumba's shoes. But to answer your question, not too surprised that they kept Matt Dumba on the Greenway front. I mean, I really think this is robbery here. You got a second round pick and a future fifth round pick for a guy who is really just at his zenith when he was at his peak with the Wild, was a good complementary piece on an identity line. That was his peak. You know, everyone wanted him to be this power forward that drove to the net and scored a lot of goals. Never happened. All right, so then he kind of falls into that grief line. Very successful line, very impactful line that helps tasks, that's shutting down other teams. Great, that was awesome. That was his ceiling. That was his ceiling, and this is where the fun, dangerous circle of I always get around with prospects in hockey and baseball is Jordan Greenway's coming up. Oh, there's no chance. Like, this guy's going to be a stud for you. He's in the World Juniors, and he was a great college hockey player, and he was a second-round pick. The ceiling of Jordan Greenway was a complimentary winger on a defensive shutdown line. That was his ceiling. And they were able to get a second-round pick and a fifth-round pick for him.
Oh,
that's robbery. That is a great move from Bill Guerin. And that's where, just because you have the number one prospect pool, which, by the way, the Minnesota Wild do, that does not mean your top five prospects are all going to hit their ceilings. Odds are most of them aren't even going to come close to hitting their ceilings. So to be great moves from the Wild to do both of those things, to get Greenway out, to keep Dumba, to not sell low on it, and make all your forward depth much better when it comes to the playoffs, God willing that you're going to be in there.
And when Greenway, look, when Bill Guerin, at this point of Jordan Greenway's career, has to go talk to him. And basically that sparked him for a while. When he shows up an hour before faceoff, and so with the Wild down a forward, he has to be scratched, okay? That's the lack of commitment that a team can't take. And do I think that there's more there? Absolutely. Do I think he cares about that? Absolutely not. You know, we've watched Dumba for a long time, and we've watched him play well, and we watched him screw up. I don't think too many times I've questioned his effort. Like, there's been bad plays. There have been dumb decisions at times.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've questioned his effort and said, man, he is dogging it. Jordan Greenway, when you have to be talked at this point in your career by a GM, who, by the way, played his ass off when he played, and the guy who puts a huge priority on locker room chemistry, that's all she wrote. That's done. And if Buffalo can get more, awesome. Good for them. I don't think that they probably can. I think that that is a smart playoff move. The other thing too is, just to be very, very clear, because we talked about this in the last month or so, Declan, you know, I wasn't for, and Bill Guerin really didn't, I wasn't for adding a lot. Like I said, let the team stand pat. I don't care at this point. But as they began to play better and more responsible defensively, and again, I hope that continues because there's a lot of time left, and then potentially playoffs. I also didn't want to dump guys. And just to be clear here, there weren't a ton of guys to dump, too. Like, it's not like they're sitting on these players who are like, you got to trade that guy, and you got to trade that guy. And to your point, you know, I think Dumba, one, I think his time here is done because a guy like Brock Faber's coming in, and they certainly have depth defensively. But I also don't think Matt Dumba at this point in time is going to break the bank. We can debate if he should have been traded a year ago, okay? Because I think you could have got a lot more back then. But I think the approach to this from Guerin, not to sound like a Bill Guerin stan, and I do like the guy, but I think it was perfect. I think it was absolutely perfect. He went out and got some complimentary pieces. They're not going to knock your socks off. They weren't rentals like Patrick Kane is. I mean, they're rentals, but they are cheap ones. And so I really think that the approach here was very, very wise. I think Dean will love this. Dean will look at these guys and be like, I can work with these guys. There's no inherent pressure on, okay, now I've got a guy and I got to get him in the lineup and he has to score or else, you know, all hell breaks loose. I saw off the screen here because I'm going through our comments too. We got a question. It's a good one. I'd like to address it. It said, why didn't the Wild put Sam Steele, whose days with this organization are clearly numbered, on waivers? And why didn't they trade Goligoski in trade for Brock Besser? It's a great question. And here's why. They could have fit Brock Besser in immediately. They have cap room. That cap room, when the new league year starts, when the season's over, that cap room goes away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Most of you listening right now are probably multitasking. Yep, while you're listening to me talk, you're probably also driving, cleaning, exercising, or maybe even grocery shopping. But if you're not in some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you can be doing right now. Getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy, and you could save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What they couldn't do was find a way to make that work. Okay.
Oh wow. Another trade.
What? Yeah, yeah.
Jonathan Klingberg to the Minnesota Wild from Elliot Friedman.
Oh, see? The cue is set.
Oh, my gosh.
Jonathan Klingberg. From the Ducks, a one-time great defenseman with the Dallas Stars for a long time, had trailed off, but he's also playing for a terrible team. This gives you more depth. It gives you a veteran. If he's paired with the right guy and he can reprise what we saw a little bit more in Dallas, this is a very interesting trade.
Wow. So Jonathan Klingberg, as Judd said, at one time, one of the best offensive moving defensemen in the NHL, he came up with the Stars. Wild fan actually probably met him from that playoff series in 2016. I mean, he had double-digit goals his first 3 years in the NHL. He was with Anaheim in his first season after 8 years with the Dallas Stars, 50 games, 8 goals, 16 assists, 24 points. That Ducks team's terrible. He's a minus 28. Don't look too far.
Yeah,
don't look too far into the plus minus there. But he plays a ton of minutes, 20 minutes plus a game. A guy who has played in the playoffs a ton. He was with the Stars team in the bubble that went to the Cup. 59 playoff games, 35 points. Interested to see what the return is here. I'm not sure what that would be. I'm going to guess it's a little higher than what the Wild have been giving up here. We'll see what the Wild or Bill Guerin ended up surrendering. Now, he's not a great defender, Jonathan Klingberg. Kind of a liability as a defenseman to be completely just from his natural position. But a guy who's an offensive first defenseman, probably, you know, a better version of what Matt Dumba is now. So another defensive move for the Wild. They got another deadline acquisition that just kind of trickled in here. I'm still waiting to see what the Wild gave up. We'll give you that information when it comes in.
That is, that's a bold move. Okay, so I was completely wrong. They weren't done yet, and that is a major... He's not the same player that he was previously, but as Declan said, he was with the Ducks, who are an absolute dumpster fire, And this also provides a guy that can play on your power play, I'm sure. I guess I guess the question comes up now, who's he paired with on your defensive pairings? I got to think a defenseman got traded out, I would think.
You'd think so.
I don't know if Goose is involved in this one or not, but I would think that this is not just a draft pick. This takes it up a notch from what I expected, Declan Goff. And fans, I didn't expect this
from my guy Jay Fresh again. A little write up. He posts little graphics and gives little visual explainers on analytics. He writes up on the Klingberg acquisition. Klingberg, acquired by Minnesota, is a skilled puck moving defenseman who's great in the power play. He's also the worst defensive player on the worst defensive team of the cap era. Truly, just gave up on defending entirely. So he grades these offensive scales on a 0 to 100%. Percentile of how you rank in certain categories. Jonathan Klingberg is in the 92nd percentile for offense. He is in the 0 percentile for defense. So
this isn't a Dean guy at all. Then,
yeah, this is interesting. I don't know. I mean, I'd rather have him playing third line minutes, I guess. By the way, Dane Mizutani reporting the Wild are trading a fourth round pick in 2025 for Klingberg. So Dane from the Pioneer Press saying it's a 2025 fourth round pick going to the Ducks for Jonathan Klingberg. So that's the other acquisition as well.
Joe Smith from The Athletic just reported Alex Goligoski is staying with the Wild. Was never asked to waive his no move. So Joe obviously talked to Goligoski. So that's interesting. I mean, this brings up a lot of questions. I love this. A lot of questions about your depth now, because Faber's coming. I think the plan is for him, once the Gophers are done, he is eligible to step in, and I think that's the plan. That's certainly been reported on. Is this a guy that you're going to use on the power play more? Power play one right now at the points features one defenseman, and that is Kalen Addison. So my guess is he's out.
Yeah.
Right? A power play one, Klingberg's in.
Maybe.
Look, like it or not, Dex, just as a off the top of my head, this sort of fits there. They don't trust Kalen at all. Now, but Klingberg, as you said, defensively is a dumpster fire. So, boy, this is going to be intriguing to watch.
Yeah, I'm very curious how this all plays out here. I mean, that's a bigger move, in my opinion. I mean, that's probably one of the more known commodities in the NHL from an offensive first defenseman in Jonathan Klingberg, again, who has played a ton of playoff games. Probably a guy who can quarterback a power play. I mean, I don't think they probably trust that Klingberg and Addison. Well, they definitely don't trust them together on the ice. I can tell you that much. They would be 100%.
No, I'm
up.
Saying Kalen's off the first power play. I'm saying Kalen might be scratched.
That would be.
I'm saying I don't think here. I don't like that. Here's what I'm trying to say. Here's what I'm saying. I don't think Dean likes him. I don't think Dean wants to play him. I think Dean's. But you just went through stats that prove that Klingberg is a defensive liability himself. So, like, my whole point until this, and I'm not objecting, but my whole point until this was this team is doing everything they can to get as responsible as possible defensively.
Yeah,
and Klingberg and I know that there is a panic to create more offense, but I guess my question comes at what price? Because Kalen Addison can create more offense, and I think Dean turns, you know, six shades of red every time he watches him. Because it drives him crazy.
By the way, Jonathan Klingberg signed a one-year, $7 million deal with the Ducks last summer, so he's on an expiring deal as well. So he fits into the Wild's cap for that cap hit. Post-trade deadline cap, if you will. So he fits under there. But, I mean, he was making a one-year prove-it deal, essentially, with Anaheim. 1 year, $7 million, a guy who at one time was one of the better puck-moving defensemen in the NHL. But, man, this is pretty wild. What a crazy buzzer-beater trade that just trickled in for Bill Guerin.
So just to go back through Klingberg's power play work, okay? With the Ducks this season in 50 games, he had, let's see here, he had 5 power play assists and 1 power play goal. He hasn't scored more than two power play goals in a season since he had five in 2018-19 with Dallas. And so his power play production now he did, as recently as last season with Dallas, Declan, he did have 19 power play assists. So my guess is he's going to be the top defensive point man. And Kalen's off that. Now the question is, does Kalen Addison even play? And my guess is no. But yeah, this is an interesting move. I wonder how much of a stomach Dean has, though. He must think, because this guy's a veteran player, and he has been very good at times, that it's more palatable for him to watch Jonathan Klingberg than Kalen Addison play. But yeah, this is going to take some digesting. The rest of them I totally got. Uh-huh. This one's interesting.
Yeah, I'm just curious how everything fits in. What's your defensive pairs? You know, obviously.
Yeah, let's go through that actually right now. Spurgeon and Middleton aren't getting separated. They've done a great job.
Yep.
Brodin's coming back at some point here. Let's go with Brodin, because clearly in the playoffs, unless something goes really wrong, he's going to slot in. Brodin and Dumba have been paired together, and then it's been Merrill and Addison, and Goligoski has been with Dumba of late.
Okay.
Well, you know what you could do? Okay, here's a thought for you.
I think I know where you're going.
Brodin and Klingberg.
Yeah.
Because Brodin cleans up for everything people do wrong. And then Merrill, I think Addison's out. So I think it's Merrill and Dumba or Merrill and Goose. And my guess is it's Dumba. My only question then is when Faber comes in, and I think he's going to play, who does he slot in for?
Mm.
And does Klingberg go down to the third pairing? Would they put, I mean, Brodin to me, as good as Spurgeon is, and he does a lot of things. He does a lot of small things, blocks a ton of shots. He's positionally really sound. I think Brodin is their most solid, sound defenseman. So if I have any worries about a guy like Klingberg defensively, Declan, or Faber being young, I'm probably going to default to Brodin being partnered with that player.
Yeah, there's probably no combination that involves the following three players. And I know that there's two on the spot, but bear with me here. I don't think there's any combination that is Dumba Addison, Dumba Klingberg, Klingberg Addison. Does that make sense?
Yes, and I think for the sake of these pairings, I think we can scratch Addison off the pairings. I don't think he's going to play unless Klingberg gets hurt.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it doesn't fit. So.
Spurgeon's the second power play guy.
Yep.
So he's not gonna get bumped by Kalen on the second unit. And heck, that second group barely plays. The first group just stays on the ice.
Yes. So yeah, very curious how that would play out.
I'm gonna start to do some line.
Yeah, line combination, which we love to do on Judd's Talk. We got like over 1,000 people watching JHS right now.
Let's just keep going now that we've got this.
Hit the subscribe button for daily Minnesota sports entertainment here on Score North. And if you like Minnesota Vikings talk, go to Purple Daily for daily Vikings entertainment. Old Dex tweets us after Bolt at the top of the hour for event line. AJ Fredrickson, though, is speaking of getting up from Iowa and being recalled, in pursuit right now to join JHS in the next 5 to 10 minutes. So we will get his thoughts as well on this deal. So yeah, Spurgeon Milton obviously aren't going anywhere. That's one of the best defensive pairs basically in the NHL. Man, could you put Brodin with Addison Brodin
with Klingberg.
With Klingberg and then Merrill and Dumba. That's probably.
Yes. Yes. I think you just hit it. Goose is out, right?
Yeah. Goose is just out. He's not.
And by the way, to be very clear here, Dean will not do this, but I challenge him to. I don't think Johnny Merrill should have a pass to play every game.
That's true, too.
I am not, you know, a Tuesday night again, he got beat on that Islander goal. He got beat. Johnny Merrill just plays, and he seems like a great guy. The typical Judd thing. Seems like a great human being. But I don't think he should have a license to just play.
Yeah. Yeah, that is also true. By the way, Joe Smith giving a little bit more clarity on the deal involving Klingberg. Jonathan Klingberg to the Wild. They are sending a fourth in 2025. Andre Suster. Who was an up-and-down player the Wild have sent, and the rights to Nikita, is it Nestranko, who I believe is a college hockey player with Boston College. So a couple more compensations going there to Klingberg. If it is Nestranko, that's how you pronounce it. He is having a pretty good season with BC and the college ranks. 32 games, 30 points, 11 goals, 19 assists. So a sixth-round pick, I believe, by Minnesota a few years back. So they've controlled his rights. Might be one of those situations where they don't feel they can re-sign him. So a couple more things going to Jonathan, to the Anaheim Ducks, excuse me, in the Klingberg trade. Yeah, I don't think there's an possibility that Addison is in the lineup with Klingberg also in the lineup.
It doesn't make sense. Mm. And it makes sense that they were looking, in retrospect now, that they were looking to get Addison out. Because, I mean, the last time he was scratched, Declan, he was scratched for like four or five games, right?
Yeah.
So, like, that was not a wake-up. I mean, the Dumba thing was a wake-up call. Dumba's not being scratched again. He's come back, performed better. I think that they sent him a message. The first time they scratched Kalen for a game, I think they sent him a message. The second time, I think they were just pissed off.
Right.
And I don't think that they think, and I will say this, and we talked about this a couple days ago. I will say this on Kalen. One, I'd like to see him develop. Two, I think he definitely has ability to move the puck that this team can use, that Klingberg, I guess, now is going to replace. But positionally in his own zone, he does struggle. Now, I can't say I've watched a ton of Klingberg. I did in Dallas, you know, just against the Wild, and he's impressive. I don't know how much of his being absolutely horse bleep in 2022-23 has been being with the Ducks, who, again, literally are just awful. I mean, they are a Connor Bedard hotbed. But yeah, I got to think that this spells the end. If this might spell the end, period, because he'll probably be traded at the draft at this rate for Kalen Addison.
Another note on, I know we're talking about Klingberg's offensive ability, but just how much of a liability he can be defensively. This also from Jay Fresh Hockey. I want to put in defensive numbers in. I want to put Klingberg's defensive numbers in perspective before the Wild ruined them. The Ducks gave up 42.2 shots and 4.2 times goals per 60 that he's on the ice at 5-on-5. So per 60 minutes, basically, when Klingberg is on the ice at 5-on-5, the opposing team is getting 42.2 shots off and are scoring 4.2 goals per 60 minutes. That is a humongous liability. Yeah. Now, he might be propped up a little bit if he's going to play with Jonas Brodin, so some of those numbers will get a little bit better. But this is where you got to take some of that offset off of, all right, if he's going to quarterback power play and score some power play points, that's all good and gravy. But, man, this guy could leave some players high and dry. In fact, I can see Judd Zolgad now from the press box at the X in a first-round series with the field glasses
throwing
on.
Stuff.
Field glasses stuff. On, waiting to watch his band. And as Klingberg, oh, there is a Colorado Avalanche forward open and a goal. I can 100% see it now.
Again, though, Declan, this gets back to coaching. Guess what can't happen? Got to make sure, especially at home, that Nathan MacKinnon is not on the ice at the same time as John Klingberg. I mean, this is where you got to be disciplined. This is where you have to be smart. This is where you're going to have shutdown defensemen. You know, keep in mind, 2003, I'll go back to it, Peter Forsberg, Wes Walls, and guys like Willie Mitchell drove them up the wall. Not because they were trying to score goals, because all they wanted to do was bug him. So that's a very important thing. So just to recap, Jordan Greenway now in Buffalo. Well, gets a couple draft picks back. Oscar Sundquist, who was a center who we now expect to play wing here because he was playing wing in Detroit, traded from the Red Wings to the Wild for a fourth-round pick in 2023. And John Klingberg, the defenseman who was once fantastic in Dallas, definitely has fallen off but can move the puck, coming here for a fourth-round pick in 2025 and three non-NHL players currently. Is that right?
Yeah, and it sounds like Michael Russo was reporting that Nestranko, Hysterico, I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm not even going to try. I'm never going to see him again. He had talks with the Wild that they did not plan to sign him. So
okay,
they basically,
so this is the second guy.
Yeah, just like McBain.
Because they put the, well, yeah, no, but they put the guy in the deal they facilitated, not the Orlov deal, But the O'Reilly trade, I think that they did the exact same thing. And they put a guy who they owned, but they were going to lose his rights. And if you've been paying attention the past couple of days, the Wild are signing guys that they previously drafted who they hadn't signed. Because, of course, if you don't sign them by the upcoming draft, they are then eligible to go back into the draft. Before we continue on JHS, speaking of our sponsors, I want to talk to you about my friends at Livia Weight Control Centers, who helped me drop 40 pounds more than a year ago. And here's the most important thing. There's Judd on the left. There's Judd on the right. What you say, what's the difference? Well, it's the weight loss. And here's the most important thing. I said it was more than a year ago because this is Livia Weight Control Centers. It's not a quick fix. It's not a diet. It is actually an easy lifestyle change in which you will drop the weight. And more importantly, the dietitians at Livia will help you keep that weight off. And have I got a deal for you on a day of deals, on a week of deals in the National Hockey League? Livia is offering today, if you join, 8 weeks for free. That's right. So you can start your course. You can chart your course to a summer of fitting into clothes, looking fantastic, and having all your friends say, how did you lose all that weight? And you'll tell them, Livia, but you'll have gotten 8 weeks for free. 855-GO-LIVIA, livia.com, LIVEA.com. Voted Minnesota's best weight loss program, Livia, LIVEA.com.
All right, Judd Zolgad, we got our center in here.
Okay. I am going to take a line change briefly.
Okay. You're going to take a line change?
I got to re-up the coffee.
Okay.
I got to re-up the coffee, and I got to take care of just a little bit of business. I will be right back.
Oh, God. All right.
So I mean right back.
We're going to put Judd in timeout while he goes and does that. We're going to welcome in, though, A.J. Fredrickson, also of Score North and Judd's Hockey Show, fellow St. Cloud State grad. A.J., what's going on? How are we doing?
Not too much. So let me explain to you my past maybe hour here.
Okay.
My sister, currently still enrolled at St. Cloud State, they are heading south for the kind of spring breaky tennis week where they take on people down around like that Arizona area.
Yep.
So I leave. I embark on this journey driving through I-94 and I'm going south on 35W and I get to Terminal 2. And she hops out and I notice like super weird as I'm pulling out like, okay, Manny Hill starts texting me. Jonathan Harrison starts texting me. I have my friends texting me, but I don't, you know, because I'm a safe driver. I'm a safe driver. I don't really tap in, but I have the heads up display on the dash. And then I see you. I'm like, either something's wrong or something happened. So I tap in and it's like, hey, we're recording a JHS. You want to join? I'm like, I'm not home right now. I'll be home soon. I tap on Jonathan Harrison. He goes, what's going on? Can you help? Can you elaborate for me? I said, I don't know what you're talking about because I've been in the car for the past hour, so I'm still picking up. I just 2 seconds ago, before you added me, saw that the Wild are now proud, are now a proud franchise that has Jonathan Klingberg.
Yeah,
Klingberg.
Yeah, Klingberg.
Of all people. Wow.
Yes.
So catch me up in like very like an elevator pitch on what exactly has happened in the past hour that I've missed.
Okay, so you saw the Jordan Greenway trade. I'm guessing have you seen that?
I did, yes.
Okay.
I did, yes.
So they traded Jordan Greenway for a couple draft picks to Buffalo. Then they made another move. They were able to get, Sundquist from Detroit. So they got Sundquist from Detroit for a fourth round pick.
Okay.
And then after the deadline had passed, AJ, and we'll get Judd back on here from his line change duties after getting
there
a breather,
go.
Wherever the hell he was doing. After the deadline came and went after 2 o'clock, Jonathan Klingberg's deal trickles in for a 2025 fourth round pick and a couple like Andre Suster and another college hockey prospect from BC that wasn't going to sign. So Klingberg, and as I was pointing out, and AJ probably knows this just as well as I do, great offensive moving defenseman, and he also might be one of the worst true defensemen in the NHL. And what Judd and I were trying to figure out, Age, and I tweeted this out as well, and I'm getting some responses, I don't think this bodes well for Kalen Addison. Like, I don't think there's any lineup combination that involves Addison and Klingberg on the, not definitely not paired together. That would just be suicide. That'd be literally waving the white flag defensively. But even just trying to figure out where they could be matched with other Wild defensemen, I don't think that even exists.
Yeah, my reaction while telling that story, letting the process of Jonathan Klingberg sink in that he's now a member of the Minnesota Wild, was if we're only a few years removed from him being considered maybe like a very above average, arguably elite offensive defenseman, that's definitely rescinded. But then it sunk in. If you like Kalen Addison, you're in for some bad news, because this is this is an older Kalen Addison who is much more established, who they're not going to, you're not going to want to double up. If they've already been scratching Kalen Addison on a very regular basis here recently. And I know a lot of the Wild broadcasts have said that the past few games that we've seen him, he's cleaned up his defensive game and maybe more focused more on that. I think it's been more of, they just kind of had to play him.
Yeah.
You know, they, at a certain point you have to, especially if you want to showcase him. That leads me to believe, do you think they maybe tried to shop a guy like Addison here before the deadline and something fell through?
Yeah.
And then now they're kind of stuck with both a Klingberg and an Addison.
Judd, you got to unmute yourself there.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, old man mute self on hockey podcast. You know what? I think at this point in time, they didn't care if they could trade him or not. I just think that this speaks to, and it's not surprising you guys, how much Dean doesn't want to play him. And I told Age, I told Dex this. I said, you know, the first time they scratched him, I think it was a wake-up call, right? It was like a game. They scratched him for a game, maybe two. And it was like the dumbest scratch. Okay, kid, wake up. The second time they scratched him for like four games. And that's not a wake-up call. That's a you've lost your job call. He had to be put back in. Brodin got hurt. I think that this is, and look, I mean, it's a veteran guy. I don't know if he's going to be terrible defensively or what. But I was telling Declan, I think that this is a guy, one who Addison is now a scratch, a healthy scratch for the rest of the season, barring injury. And I think this is a guy that when Brodin gets back, you put with Brodin, and Brodin covers for Klingberg's miscues, and Klingberg is counted on to move the puck. I will say this about last night's game. Keep this in mind. And it's Vancouver. Vancouver has high-end talent, but they're a really crappy team. But you know what we saw last night, you guys? We saw a lot of opportunities off the rush. And those opportunities can be started by defensemen a lot of times. And so I wonder if they've been thinking, okay, if we're going to generate offense off the rush with guys not named Kirill Kaprizov sometimes, that a guy like John Klingberg can do that. Just spitballing here. But it definitely, to me, indicates that I would guess that when Brodin's back, they'll pair those two on the second unit. And then probably just as importantly, AJ, that Klingberg will take over for Kalen on the first power play. That's my guess.
Yeah, and he's, like I said, he's not super far removed from being a very, very good guy. And maybe it's just he's been on a team that hasn't been the best offensively, so you have seen that kind of decline, similar to what you maybe saw with Gustafson and Goal, where he's been on the Ottawa Senators for so long and they've been so bad defensively that his numbers just look awful. And then you're like, why would they trade Cam Talbot for him straight up and blah, blah, blah. This could be we've talked about the change of scenery for a guy like Brock Besser, but this isn't a homecoming by any means, but a change of scenery to a team that is better defensively and has that role for him to step into of being a power play specialist. I mean, you remember how good Brad Hunt was for about three months on the power play? Yeah. He was lights out.
He's playing for the Avs, dude.
Yeah.
Every game for the Avs. He's played well. Good for him.
A journeyman power play specialist. And that's what I think a much better version of that is John Klingberg. And I like it. It just sucks that I like Kalen Addison. And I think this obviously doesn't bode well for him in the long run.
As far as the two moves go, the Greenway trade, I think we all agree we absolutely love. I don't think he fit here anymore. I just didn't. He had a terrible year. It was I don't think he played like he cared. I might be wrong. It seemed that way. He was asked about being traded or the rumors about it after Tuesday's game in the locker room and was very tepid. Just like, I don't really think about it. I don't, and clearly didn't care. The Sundquist addition is intriguing to me, and Age, I think, and we discussed this as well because we love to put together line combinations. You got them right here. That for the time being, I think your third line, I think your second line remains Ek between Boldy and Johansson. I think your third line now, your checking line is Goudreau, Foligno, when he comes back. And I'm not convinced. I think he's banged up, but I think he was struggling. And I think that might have been code for, well, he's not, like, we're not going to announce we're scratching him because They love him. And Sundquist, who was a right wing on the fourth line in Detroit, bumping up to the right wing on the checking line. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah. like your point about Greenway. Yeah. I don't think he maybe fit here. And I'm seeing now that it's a second rounder is, and not to change the topic, but does that not seem generous? That seems rather generous for a guy like Jordan Greenway. Not that I don't think Jordan Greenway is an okay player, but it's what we were talking about the other day, Judd, when Dex, you were on vacation. It was, he has the potential to do what I see nightly for Joel Eriksson Ek, where his body positioning and the way he blocks out other players and his balance should be there. It's just, he doesn't like drop his shoulder and drive to the net. So yeah. And at this point in his career, with how long he's been in the league, I don't think you're ever going to get that from him. So getting a second and a fifth seems pretty solid. Yeah. That seems like great work at the office for Mr. Billy Guerin.
No kidding.
But yeah, no, Sundquist, he's a two-time cup winner. You have to remember that. I don't know if a lot of people necessarily remember that, but he is going to bring some of that veteran and that seasoned mentality that if you slot him in, he's not a raw piece of meat. He's a medium cooked steak that's coming out of the oven or coming out of the back kitchen. And maybe he's that fajita platter. You know, he's got a little sizzle to him where he's going to help spice up that line a little bit and maybe add a little more flash and pomp and circumstance to whatever line he gets slotted into.
All right, let's go full strength here on Judd's Hockey Show. By the way, hit the subscribe button on the Score North YouTube channel. That's Judd Zolget. I'm Declan Goff, AJ Fredrickson in the middle. And of course, we now welcome in Jesse Pierce from NHL.com.
What's up, guys?
Jesse, are you
Judd's
like
going on? Show. Never before have we had everyone.
I put a little big rig shirt on in memory.
Pour one out.
Apologies.
For the big rig.
Pour one out for the big.
I think he's very happy. I think he's probably very pleased. He didn't seem like when you asked him in particular on Tuesday about, do you tune this out this time of year? And he's like, oh, not really. I don't pay attention. If I get traded, I get traded. I'd say the big rig might not be the most. Now, Buffalo might not have been his first choice, but I don't think he was too upset to probably escape Minnesota. Do you?
No, I don't think so. And I mean, that conversation we had with him, we all had the inkling as media that this is probably the last time we're going to speak with him, just kind of how it worked out. But his whole fact of, well, I can't control it. And he's absolutely right. And actually, I think Buffalo will be a good fit for him. As a Team USA guy, he knows Don Granato. He's got Tage Thompson. He's got a bunch of Americans out there. Plus, he's a New York guy, I believe. So, I mean, ultimately, yes, Buffalo seems like the place that no one wants to go, but it's lately getting to be more and more exciting out there. And I think if Greenway can pick up and just work a little bit harder, he can maybe salvage his career. I overheard you, AJ, mention the shoulder. I think going back to that injury, even though too, he admitted to us right away, yeah, I'm a little scared. I'm a little nervous to go around and throw that big body out there. Well, you can't have a guy like that, especially on a line like the Grief line, you know, so I think it could be a good change of scenery for him. Hopefully he finds his game. Hopefully he works on his game a little bit more than what you saw. But ultimately, I just want to give a round of applause to Bill Guerin once again this year. I mean, what he's able to do and what he's able to move for the little amount that he does, it's truly magic. Like, I can't even understand how he's able to do that. You had mentioned coming back in the Greenway trade as a second round pick. This class is stacked, you guys. Yes, like, that second round is going to be stock full of high potential as well. So that's just fantastic. I mean, more than absolutely Greenway probably deserved, especially with no salary retention. So not only do you get a great look at a selection in the second round, but you're saving $3 million to play with moving forward. So, all in all, stamp of approval. I wish he would have done this earlier because I was enjoying my Friday until the last 30 minutes of deadline, right?
You knew this was going to – well, all of the trades except for the Klingberg trade, how surprised were you? Like, that's the one that I think caught us all off guard. The rest of the trades, you know, not shocking. Yeah. But when you go get John Klingberg, who at one time was an outstanding, as AJ said, offensive defenseman, he's still good. Dex went through – the advanced metrics defensively, he is a train wreck. But what were your initial reaction to the acquisition of a guy who used to give the Wild big time problems as a member of the hated Dallas Stars?
I thought somebody was trolling me when they mentioned it. I was like, that's not real. Because, I mean, his name was wanted and touted in so many different team circles, right? Edmonton was looking at him. Chicago, I mean, you name it, a team had considered him because he was and possibly almost still is a top four defenseman. Whether he's dropped, I still would put him in the top four instead of Goligoski, instead of a John Merrill, right? And obviously we've seen the Wild kind of fall out of favor with Kalen Addison for whatever reason that might be. So it's exciting. I hope that you can tap into that better two-way player that he is, because I think obviously Minnesota does enjoy a good offensive defenseman. But for him being a UFA next year, that's also nice. I love that all of these guys, nothing's long term. I am 100% okay with just the rental situation. See what they do. See if they're worth anything. The one concerning thought I did have in regard to picking up Klingberg is my curiosity piqued. Is Jonas Brodin hurt more seriously than maybe we thought? Because it seems like that's possibly a reason to go out and get a defenseman. Because really, we might have our gripes and groans about Gali and Merrill in particular. They haven't been doing too bad, and a huge credit to that is to goaltending. But I feel if you're going out of your way to get a defenseman like Klingberg of that stature, especially for Nestorenko, who is a good prospect, Andre Schuster, whatever, and a pick are fine. But it makes me kind of wonder, and this is just me and my little brain twirling around it. I don't know anything at all. I'm just saying maybe that's
rather reckless speculation, if you ask me, Jesse Pierce.
I do that sometimes. I'm just saying, like, it just seems odd. It seems like very out of left field that you're going out and getting a defenseman right now. I thought they'd wait, you know, until a little bit later, because you know Dumba will likely be out as well, but we'll see.
Jess, I got to imagine there is no type of situation where Klingberg and Addison not just are not on the ice together, but probably not in the lineup together, right? Like, I don't know how the combination would work with two guys who are offensive first dudes that don't really get a lot of defensive trust. I think this probably doesn't bode well necessarily for Kalen Addison drawing in a ton.
Well, and that's why when it was first reported that Klingberg was out, the media thought was they got rid of Addison, right? Like, that's kind of the more, because exactly like you said, Dex, they have been knocking Addison down for his lack of defensive style, and he stepped it up a little bit. But yeah, I would have to imagine you're going to put him, I feel it'll be Klingberg and Dumba. Again, until Brodin comes back, and we're not sure when that might be. But yeah, certainly Kalen Addison, it'll be interesting to see. I still would trust Addison over a couple of the other guys that are seeing the ice, but, you know, apparently Bill and Dean don't always listen to me, just once in a while.
Did you say Klingberg and Dumba? AJ, react to Klingberg and Dumba, because I could probably throw grenades on the ice that would be safer than those two on the same blue line.
That's a nightmare. Like, you know the song Rapper's Paradise or whatever? Is that the
Gangster's
like
Paradise?
Light or something? Gangsters in Paradise? Opposition in Paradise. Because that screams odd man rush the other way. That screams we're going to cough the puck up at the blue line, and all of a sudden you've got two-on-ones going the other way, and goalies are going to be hanging out left to dry, jock straps everywhere. It doesn't matter. I'm going to have to hold my breath every time that pairing would be on the ice, because this would be... That's catastrophic. You're asking to get scored on, I feel like, if you're throwing those two. Last night, we saw a play where it was, and granted, it was an okay pinch, but it was just he got outskated, Matt Dumba, and Alex Goligoski had to come in last
night. I saw that. Scared me.
Oh, my God. And the thing is, like, I don't think Alex Goligoski is the most, like, sound defenseman at this stage of his career.
No, I agree.
But he looked like a Norris Trophy winner right there, because he stepped in and recognized, okay, I got to bail him out. It seems like, and not to just attack Matt Dumba here, but it seems like whoever is paired on the ice with him at whatever given time needs to have that inkling in the back of their mind of, all right, maybe I got to one step back just in case. You know, I got to one eye just kind of looking at him, and then I'll play my game. But as soon as I see him maybe commit to something, I got to start hustling, because who knows what's going to happen. So if you get those two out on the ice together.
Yeah, it scares me.
No, see, I like it. I think this is going to be Klingberg's reawakening. I am here for it.
Jay Fresh Hockey doesn't think he can play from the blue line in. Poor Marc-Andre Fleury. You talk about the flower wilting. The flower, springtime will not help the flower with that. So it's Declan, it's AJ, it's Jesse, it's Judd. Declan, start with you.
Yeah.
From the time the week started. So Nyquist in, hurt, but hopefully plays in the playoffs. Johansson in, Greenway gone, Sundqvist in, and Klingberg in. How much different do you feel about the Wild than you did when the week started?
I feel better. I feel a lot better about their chances to potentially get out of the first round for sure. The West is so wide open. I'm still trying to figure out where the Wild kind of fall in that pecking order. But I think that they have kind of set themselves up here to be much more of a depth team and a checking line team. And, you know, if you have two solid goaltenders now and Philip Gustafson and Fleury now is playing a lot better over the last three games, it feels a lot better, right? I mean, the goaltending is one of the hardest things to project. And if you don't feel good about it going into the playoffs, you're going to be in some serious trouble. I think the thing that probably worries me, and it happened against the Vegas Golden Knights 2 years ago, is our team just going to do everything they can to shut down Kirill and think, can the Wild beat us? Like if we take him out to the best of their ability, I don't think there is just shutting him down completely over a 6-7 game series. But if you take him out of the majority, is there anyone else in the Wild that can step up and beat you? And Vegas was able to get by, and then the Wild did force 7 games in that situation. So they, kudos to them for forcing 7 games. But I think that's probably my worry, that opposing team is going to focus in on just making life hell on Kirill. And I mean, the Wild can't buy a 5-on-5 goal in general, right? I mean, Kirill's been carrying them to goals and goals and goals. So if he's not scoring, no one is scoring. I think that's probably my only fear, but I do feel a lot better about the moves they've made over the last 3 days than I did how they stood about a week ago.
Age?
Yeah, they're a better team. Like, just simply, they're a better team, I think, than they were 24 hours ago, 48 hours ago. Because you cut off a little bit of fat there in the term of the expression. Not that Jordan Greenway's out of shape, you know, I'm one to talk, but they add offense, maybe not just where I wanted it. You know, I was hoping that if you're going to trade for a guy that's going to bring an offensive spark, not that Sundqvist can't be that guy, but he's not that playmaking centerman that I think that everybody thinks the Wild need, that they've been lacking now for however many years. And adding that on the back end, and then you're sacrificing, like we said, I don't expect, like, what are the odds, like the sportsbook odds of having Addison and Klingberg in the same lineup, like plus 50,000? I don't think it's happening. So, you know, as much as I would love to have one of those things, or both of those guys, like in the lineup and in the roster and everything like that, it's not going to happen. So I do think they are better than they were last night, a week ago, however, a month ago. And if you do get, Jonas Brodin back, you're not going to have as many defensive liabilities. And I know it was just reported that without shock, Dakota Mermis got sent down with nobody else recalled. So they're going to have the four kind of guys out, but it's, I like the moves. I like the moves overall. I'm not going to say that it was a bad trade deadline. I'm not going to say it was a bad past month or so of them trying to wheel and deal, because Bill Guerin, as Jesse said, came in second year in a row, and I'm going to give him a thumbs up and then some, because I was expecting his first kind of full season, the fleecing, so to speak, or maybe the efficiency in trades, because what's the joke for a while, I feel like, has been Steve Yzerman calls you, he tells you what he wants, and then you just accept. Bill Guerin is kind of getting into that role where it feels like if he has a plan, he's going to get it done, whether it's schmoozing you or berating you or complimenting you. I don't know what goes on the phone lines with him, but something's working, and he must be a master negotiator, because he is getting that job done.
Jesse Pierce.
Do I think they're better? No.
Do you feel differently
really
about them?
Okay. No. I mean, I'll be honest. I think you got some bottom six forwards, which adds to your depth. You have a bunch of number three centers now. The one that intrigues me the most out of all of the additions, aside from Klingberg, who I have now mentioned is going to have a great second half to his season here with Minnesota, that watch it, mark my words. No, I am excited about Gustav Nyquist. Now, again, we don't know when he's going to return. I think he's the one that they picked up with the most potential. Marcus Johansson, I still just have the one season with the Minnesota Wild stuck in my head. So I still have a lot of concern around that. And Sundqvist, I, you know, don't feel one way or another. I think in general, the Minnesota Wild are a better team than they were a couple weeks ago, too. But I don't hate the moves by any means, because Bill Guerin did it while doing nothing simultaneously. You're not selling the farm. You're just doing these little things. So it adds to depth. So I guess I'd give them a smidge better. But really, I don't feel strongly one way or another, aside from the fact that, again, all hail Billy G. He knows how to get it done when it needs to get done.
I think the fact is this. This team is 3 points from first place and the top of the Western Conference, but yet they also aren't that far from being out of the playoffs. And I don't think this team was worth investing a ton in, like future assets, first-round picks. And so I think that what they did is absolutely fine. I think if they continue to play like they're playing defensively right now, they can have some success because it's a winning formula. Hopefully they can score some goals. But I think this team got exactly what it deserved, which is some complimentary moves, but they didn't deserve the big splash. I think they got the big splash last year with Fleury. They didn't deserve that. If they can win a round in the playoffs because they're, one, well-coached, and two, play hard defensively, that's great. But I think that this is, for where the Wild is at right now and the salary cap, I think that this was a very successful foray into trying to improve things. But it's basically a paint job on a house that has some issues, and I'm fine with that. So, all right, Declan, I think you've got to go to vent line, so wrap us up, sir. And Jesse, thanks for joining. AJ, thanks for coming on, too.
Anytime, guys.
Yeah, of course.
A little full-strength edition here of Judd's Hockey Show. We are live for about 90 minutes here on the Score North YouTube channel. So a full recap of everything that has happened here. If you want to skip ahead, I think even there might be some post-production work here. We'll chop some things up and give you some great analysis from the Minnesota Wild side on a busy NHL trade deadline day. So hit that subscribe button for daily Minnesota sports entertainment. Head on over to Purple Daily, daily Vikings entertainment. We have Vikings vent line ready to rock on Sunday as well. I'm guessing there'll be some weekend statements next Monday with Mackie Judd and myself to recap more Minnesota Wild news. But we will be back at another time. Hit that subscribe button for daily Vikings or daily Wild entertainment. We'll be back next week.
You know, there's no room for petty bullshit.